Some call it pop. Others call it soda. And obviously, those people are wrong. This is the Social Club Podcast. Social Club for the weekend of December 12th, 2014. Christmas is fast approaching, but there's lots to get done before that happens. Lots to do in Pittsburgh this weekend. And here, as always, with some tips on some of the highlights, some of the things you definitely are not going to want to miss, is our very good friend, Rachel Carlson of Yelp Pittsburgh. Welcome back, Rachel.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it.
And how's December going for you?
Well, it's a little bit stressful with Christmas shopping, but...
Whatever do you mean?
You know, about the whole, I have one present already picked out, and that's about it.
You're seriously not done yet?
Come on.
I'm embarrassed for you, Rachel.
I know you have nothing. I know you got nothing.
But only because I reject Christmas on principle.
I don't think your kids really believe in that.
This is what in-laws are for, though. Like, people, you can't stop them from giving gifts. So.
The kids with junk that you're going to have to clean up for the next couple months.
Exactly.
That's nice of
you. So why contribute to that avalanche of garbage?
I know you're going to contribute.
I'm joking. I get presents from my kids.
Okay, that's good. I know. There's going to be, like, this influx of one tweet. That's going to be like, Josh doesn't get presents for his kids for Christmas. He's the Grinch. You're not the Grinch.
Does he have a catchphrase? Bah humbug is what I'm thinking.
A mean one, Mr. Grinch.
Grr.
I don't know if he has a catchphrase.
Anyway, let's research that.
Jim Carrey was the scariest.
Did you see that movie?
It's trippy. He's terrifying, I think.
Just in general, in costume or not.
Yeah, well, that too. But he did do a good job on SNL.
Wait,
did you?
No. That was... Oh, you're talking, did he host recently?
Yeah, he hosted a couple weeks ago. Oh, Josh.
This is the age difference because, like, my mind went to, what was it?
In Living Color.
Yeah.
Oh, we have a guest here.
What? We have a guest. You just heard the voice of a third person in the room. Rachel, will you provide the introduction, please?
So we have the lovely Vito Gerasole. Am I saying that right?
Gerasole.
Okay.
I did a good job.
Poor excuse for an Italian.
And if that name is familiar, it's because...
He is part of... the Gerasole, famous restaurant in Shadyside, and also part of Natrona Bottling Company with Red Ribbon. I don't know how, so you have to explain this with the Natrona Bottling Company, Red Ribbon Soda.
It's Natrona Bottling Company is the company, and Red Ribbon is the brand, is the best way to put it. So,
okay,
you know, as Coca-Cola is Coca-Cola, but they also make Sprite, Fanta Orange Juice, so those are their other brands.
Not with cane soda, though.
No, they do not.
And yours is all natural.
All natural. Soda.
So all natural. So is that like healthy then? Should I feel good about drinking it?
You should feel good about drinking it. It is a delicious soda. And it's, you know, I think my cherry soda is 120 calories.
I mean,
it's not bad. You know, made with cane sugar. People drink Coke like five a day.
Ew,
I
don't really?
I do not advise you to drink my pop five times a day. Maybe that's subliminal messaging going on right there.
I know.
I do want you to drink it five times
a
day.
This is like reverse psychology. All right, well, let's back up for anybody who doesn't know you guys, although you have been getting some press, I think, lately. I've been hearing a lot about Natrona.
It's been a very good year for press for Natrona Bottling Company, and it's also been our most profitable year, and
yay.
It's been a very good year.
That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
So tell us how you got started, what you do.
What I do and what I still do is work at my family restaurant every night of the week. It is my passion, my first love. I'm blessed that I am able to be around my family on a daily basis. But 4 years ago, I was approached by somebody we'll call an angel investor to take over Natrona Bottling Company, and I have heard nothing about it before in the past. And it was put to me like this: would you like to sell soda pop? And I kind of scoffed at the idea because, you know, at the time I was really studying wine and really, you know, trying to do something more with the restaurant and whatnot. But I went down and I saw the operation and how the pop was made and tasted everything, and it was delicious.
Before we go any further, I feel like we got to pin down the terminology: soda or pop?
Yeah, we went over this. I call it soda pop, but in Pittsburgh, there's a lot of people that call it pop.
I grew up calling it pop.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I'm the upper Midwest, it's pop.
Right.
Oh, really?
With the exception of, like, along the Great Lakes, there's a little island of soda sayers.
Like Chicago.
Yeah, Chicago, Milwaukee,
soda.
In there.
Yeah. Okay. I thought everywhere past Ohio, it was soda.
I really don't know the denominational lines of who says soda and who says pop.
Or soda pop.
I say soda pop.
But are you the only one? You're the...
I'm the only one that says soda pop.
Okay, gotcha.
So let's get a little more specific with the soda pop. This is, I mean, we heard you talk about your natural ingredients. This is all made locally. Would it be fair to say this is sort of a craft artisanal product? Is it in that zone, kind of?
100%.
All right. So what does that mean to you?
Means that there's a lot of love and care put into each bottle. You know, we've been in business for 110 years, and we make a product on a machine that is long gone, basically. I think I know of three or four other companies that use the same machinery we do, which really lends to how the product is produced and put and packaged into a bottle and why it tastes a certain way. It goes miles. It really does. Yeah. And when you put my product up against the competition, I do believe that mine stands out just a little bit more because of these age-old processes that we are still using. I mean, when we make a batch of soda, we don't make a whole truckload.
Right.
We make 400 cases.
And it's probably going to be consumed within, you know, a reasonable distance of where you're located, so it's going to be
right.
Fresh.
Yes, it's always fresh. It's always fresh. I've never come across a bottle or a case that's been sitting around longer than 3 or 4 months or something like that.
Do you do tours?
I could do tours.
Sounds kind of interesting.
You know what? The machine, when the machine is running, it's very nostalgic. It's very old school. Lots of clanking bottles. Lots of, you know.
Screaming.
Well, definitely. I mean, we're Italian, so, you know, there's got to be screaming involved.
Of course.
But, you know, it's a hands-on approach. You know, today's machinery is push a button. This is the flavor we want to make. We push that button. And, you know, it makes the soda. With us, we mix all the sugar all by ourselves into the water, which creates a syrup. And then we measure out all the flavors and whatnot, which are our recipes. And then, so that's all hand done, basically.
Wow.
And then, you know, the bottles are put on the line by hand. The bottles are taken off the line by hand. You know, because the machine's old, you have to be very gentle with it and touchy. Sometimes bottles don't fill up all the way. So you have to take those ones off and run them back through. So it's a very hands-on approach. It shows how much we care about producing our product, I believe, because there's no one else like us around anymore. I mean, we're the last of a dying breed.
And how many people do you employ?
Two.
What?
Two. Oh, I have a secretary who's been there for about 15 years. She grew up across the street. And the bottler, who is the man, he's been there 40 years.
But you said you do this by hand, like the sugar, measuring out the sugar and the bottles.
I have, when we bottle,
We
have two people that we bring in to put the bottles on the line, to take them off, put them back in the box.
And you say you make how much again?
On a day, when we bottle a full day, we make about 400 cases.
Wow. That's impressive.
Yeah.
So what else, other than cane sugar and water, right, what goes in? Do you have like a secret Coca-Cola recipe where there's like two guys that have the recipe and only half?
And you'd have to kill them.
They are a secret to us. They are our recipes. And we do not create the flavor, so to say. We do go to a flavor house. The oldest one in the country is called Virginia Dare.
I want to go to a flavor house.
Wait, what's a flavor house?
You know, it's a bunch of scientists and chemists.
I still want to go.
No.
I don't want to talk to them. I just want to taste.
But I say, so like I'm trying to create a few new flavors here in the future. And what I'll do is I'll say, I want to try three different flavors of these. And they'll give me a natural flavor, which I then go and I start experimenting with beakers. And
Do you wear a white coat?
I do wear a white coat sometimes.
Oh my gosh. That's amazing.
I definitely have a hat on though.
So yeah, you mentioned other flavors. What are you working on lately?
Yeah, that's what I want to know.
So we make the best cherry soda. Cherry soda is a very old school flavor that kind of has, you know, dissipated over the years. Ours has always been the best, and it is still the best. I have not come across a cherry soda that can rival ours. And I've been wanting to make a cola, which I haven't been able to nail because my benchmark is Coke. I think Coke makes the best cola.
Yeah.
When it's made with cane sugar and it's made properly, I think it's unsurpassable.
Isn't that just the Mexican Coke
that's
made with the cane sugar?
Yes, but there's a whole, during Passover, they put little yellow caps on their plastic bottles, and it means it's...
Kosher.
Kosher. Thank you very much. Okay. And it's made with cane sugar, and they don't tell anybody that. It's still on the side of the bottle will say corn syrup.
Interesting.
But when it has the yellow cap on it, so there's all these little like secret times to buy Coca-Cola, you know, and get it at its best.
Yeah. So you're looking to emulate the Coke flavor and but make it your own in some way?
That's the problem I've run into. I've been trying to do a cola for 2 years, and it's just because of Coke being my benchmark. There's a lot of colas out there too. So, right. You know, I don't want to, unless it's going to bang, I don't want to, you know, put something out there that just is mediocre. So my thought was, I love cherry cola, and we make the best cherry soda. So that is one avenue that we are now going into, and first tests have been very positive. Definitely a lot more tweaking to go on, but I mean, who doesn't love a cherry cola? I mean, it's delicious. It's
hard to be
very, very good. Yeah. The other flavor that I am trying to do right now is I want to take the base vanilla cream and I want to make a cocoa cream.
Ooh,
and
nice.
Almost like a chocolate cream.
But you're not going to go the route of like Jones Soda. And it, like I was at Grandpa Joe's, which you sell at.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't, that's not yours, the bacon.
No.
Okay.
That's disgusting.
There's a bacon soda there. Well,
and people buy it.
It's, you know, it's certainly a good rule of thumb that like bacon enhances just about everything it comes in contact with. But there is a line.
Yeah.
There's a point where that doesn't work.
Drinking bacon and eating bacon are two different things.
Well, and Jones Soda has...
On a donut, I'm in.
Like they, what Jones has like a Thanksgiving meal soda or something. Like it's just...
Well, here's the thing.
That's beyond.
Jones got really big. I think it was in the mid-90s or something like that. And they had, I think, 27 different flavors that they were producing at one time. It killed them. And that's when they were doing these Thanksgiving dinners in a bottle type thing. But their product line got too big for them to sustain because they weren't selling enough of everything. You know, they had a lot of products sitting around. So someone bought it, cut the flavor down. I think they cut it down to like 5 bottles or 5 different flavors and restarted from there, you know.
Yeah.
You can actually feel that history too, you know, like behind what happened with Jones and what's going on with you guys and the research behind it that I hear.
Never thought I'd, you know, be studying sodas when I grew up, I'll be honest. But it's, you know, it's definitely, it's a part of American history, soda pop. It, you know, this is something that's been with us for, you know, over 130, 140, 150 years, you know, started with Coke. It's ingrained in us to enjoy soda pop. Mm-hmm. Almost just like go to a baseball game.
What I want to know about is like pairings. Is there a logic to what to eat with your artisanal soda pop, or what about like adult beverage combinations? Are you up for that, or does that dilute your product or make it worse?
Not at all. We make ginger beer is a very popular item right now, and we make the best ginger beer that you can get. It is called Jamaica's Finest Ginger Beer. And it's an all-natural product made with natural ginger root oils and other oils and essences and whatnot. And it bites you. And it's delicious. If you like ginger, you will love our product. It is my best-selling item. And it is also the item that you can mix with many, many different types of alcohol.
And
or
you
liquors.
Have with Wiggle.
Right. Wiggle does one during the summer where they mix... I think
I'm thinking rum.
It's great with rum. It's great with vodka.
Mm-hmm.
Did you ever have the root liqueur, Art in the Age root liqueur?
Mm-mm.
Oh, mix that with that and a lime. It's delicious. It's so good that you can just—you don't even realize you're ingesting alcohol so much because it's so good and so easy to drink.
That sounds dangerous.
Yeah, it is. We also make a product called Mint Julep. It's a minted ginger ale, which if anybody's ever heard of Tom Tucker's, Tom Tucker's is an old Pittsburgh minted ginger ale back from the 50s, 60s. There's a man who developed Tom Tucker's. His name was Sidney Rice. Sidney Rice left Tom Tucker's, was friends with the owner, Paul Bowser, here at Natrona Bottling, came over in the 70s, gave him the recipe for Tom Tucker's, and we call it Mint Julep. And it's a minted ginger ale. And it mixes very well with bourbon. Very, very well with bourbon. The only setback is it's green. And the green is a selling point for the product itself. The mint julep's my go-to soda for enjoyment, for refreshment. But if you take some crushed ice, some bourbon, some mint leaves, and some mint julep, it is delicious.
Nice.
That sounds really good.
Yeah. All right. What about seasonal picks? Is there a logic to that?
You know, I haven't gotten into seasonal items yet. These are products that we run all year long.
Just tell me you don't have a pumpkin flavor.
I don't have a pumpkin flavor.
I was going to say wine, if you're a wino.
I am a wino.
There'd be a wine-flavored soda. I don't know about that.
I teamed up with Sorgel Orchards this past year. They approached me about creating a flavor for them, and we wanted to do a pumpkin pie-flavored soda. And I ended up creating something that we call Orchard Spice.
Huh, okay.
And it is extremely good. It is definitely 50-50 down the middle, you know, of people who like it and people who think that it's out of this, you know. But it has a very nice balance.
Yeah.
And its perfume is really, really pleasurable. It's got more of like this clove-type flavor going on, this creamy-type clove flavor. I think it's great. And that is strictly through Sorgel Orchards. Nobody else sells that item.
Is it out right now that you can get it at Sorgel's? Because I need to like go there after this.
Yes. It's very good. But again, it's a 50-50 item. That's the problem that you run into when you start creating these, you know, knick-knack flavors.
Yeah.
It's a niche. You're hitting a small portion of the market. And you're devoting so much time and energy and money into that, that it ends up being, a burden sometimes.
I can see how that could be a problem for a business, but as an artisan, I got to think it's a sign that you're doing something right. If it's one of those that's not for everybody, but it is for some people, that suggests that you're, doing interesting experimental things that somebody should be doing.
No one else is doing it, so, why not?
No, I was just going to speak to the fact that you're in a bunch of different stores in Pittsburgh, too. So how many stores are you in then?
Oh, I don't know the number off the top of my head. But I can tell you.
All the finest ones.
Yes.
I am in all the finest ones.
Yes.
The biggest one, the easiest place to get our product would be Ginola Market District. It's carried in all the market districts, even the ones in Ohio. And
I heard Erie. You're up in Erie somewhere?
I heard that my product was found in Erie. Another great store to buy a product is Grandpa Joe's Candy Shop.
That place is so cool.
Yeah. Candy stores, when I was a kid, like there was a candy store in Monroeville Mall that I loved. I'd go into Monroeville Mall and I'd go in there and I'd just walk in and I'd put my hands in all the little baskets and then walk out the door,
So you were basically putting your grubby hands in.
I was putting my grubby hands in all the candy. It was delicious.
All the kids do, I'm sure.
Yeah, why not? How do you put candy in front of kids and then expect them not to put their hands in it?
The great salmonella outbreak of 91.
Was traced back to
me. All because of me.
Solved the mystery.
And Monroeville.
All right. Well, so we have kind of an agenda with this podcast. Normally, we like to keep people informed about events that are coming up. Do you guys have anything going on that people should be aware about?
I am going to be at the Neighborhood Flea, which is going to be inside Pittsburgh Public Market. I'm going to be selling my sodas, but I'm also going to be selling crates with Red Ribbon on the side of them, stocked with soda as well. And if you want to take that and give that as a gift, I don't know. I never did it before. I just had a bunch of crates made. They are very nice and very pleasurable to look at.
The one you brought in, is that one of those?
Yes.
So it looks very vintage.
It's a very old school crate. Everything I've done for the company has been to kind of keep it in this kind of nostalgic state.
Right.
Because it is a nostalgic product and we are a nostalgic company.
Yeah.
So all the marketing and all the brand building has been built around old.
Right.
I have a van. It's 1964 Econoline that I do deliveries out of. And it's awesome driving the van around. It's, you get a lot of looks. And sitting in traffic is the only bad part. Because I have overheated probably 4 or 5 times now.
Gosh. I know.
Yeah.
But Neighborhood Flea is on December 13th.
December 13th.
Saturday, December 13th. And it is from noon to 5 at the Pittsburgh Public Market. So you can head there. I love the idea. Actually, you just gave me the idea now. I always get my aunt and uncle some local product in terms of, like, I've gotten them Wiggle Whiskey and Pittsburgh Winery. And so I think I'm going to do the pack of Natrona.
Cross one off the list.
Yeah, crossing off the list.
We're making progress here. This is good.
So you can head to the public market, get Natrona Bottling Company, delicious soda, and then you can get mark things off the list. We also have I love this, Commonwealth Press, great guys. At their warehouse, they're having Super Friends, which is a 12 days till Christmas last minute holiday market. So it's going to be a lot of the friends of theirs in terms of designers and makers. So they have Garbella there, which is a really cool maker in Pittsburgh, as well as like Commonwealth Press, obviously, and a bunch of places actually I've never heard of. So I think it's going to be a really cool place to get a unique gift for that special someone.
Is this like mostly apparel kind of things?
I think it's all like it looks like it is apparel, but also like Sapling Press is going to be there, so you can grab some holiday cards as well. So I think it's a lot of like print type of gifts.
Nice.
But I think those are kind of unique and fun to get. And a lot of, like, Pittsburgh-themed stuff, I'm sure, will be there. So you can hit up those two markets and get, I hate to say this, but your last-minute holiday items there. Yes.
All right. Just to let you know, you can follow me at Natrona Bottling Company on Instagram and at Sultan of Soda.
So it's a new one. New Twitter
at
handle.
At Twitter. I haven't sent one tweet out yet. I've been getting yelled at by my friends that I don't have a Twitter
account. Well, I think your inaugural tweet should be promoting this podcast.
Let's do it. I think that's a great idea. I will do that.
Awesome.
I will do that.
I'm honored. Vito, thanks for stopping by.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
And Rachel, thanks as always.
Of course.
Happy holidays.
And this meeting of Social Club is adjourned for the weekend of December 12, 2014. Thanks so much for joining us. I'm Josh Rawlerson. I'm on Twitter at WESA Josh. Rachel Carlson tweets at Yelp Pittsburgh with lots of tips for things to do. She provides that coverage 24/7 via Twitter, so give her a follow. And hey, look for Vito of Natrona Bottling Company, also newly arrived to Twitter. Make him feel welcome, you guys. And join us next week for another edition of Social Club, brought to you thanks to the kind ministrations of Reed Carter in the newsroom, puts together the show notes every week for us and does a terrific job. Thanks also to Josh Mobley at Josh Mobley Music on Twitter, the composer of our pretty awesome theme music. That's it. Hope you'll have a great weekend, and hope you'll join us again next week.